Today's reading is from Romans 12, verses 3 to 21. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Thanks, Ray. Yeah, if you haven't met me, my name's Dan, and that is the passage you're looking at today. It is such an awesome passage. My young fella, Ben, who is up front, and he's in the same class as Lex, they are memorising parts, their whole class is memorising that whole chapter of the Bible. We didn't read verses 1 and 2. They're also fantastic, but it's great that they're learning that, because it's actually one of my favourite chapters in the whole Bible. I've got quite a few favourites, but that's one of my favourites. And we're going to start trying to learn that whole chapter as a family. We've got through verses 1 and 2 so far. But we're looking through verses, mainly verses 4 and 5 today. So keep your Bibles open. And let's say a prayer before we get into them. So Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your word. And Lord, we could do, even this chapter, we could just keep reading it and rereading it and studying it and meditating and preaching on it and learning from it all our lives and still not plumb the depths of it. Father, your word is so rich and so useful and so helpful, and we thank you so much for it, and we pray that you would change us through your word today to become more the people that you want us to be and to live in light of the truth that you have saved us, forgiven us through the blood of Jesus, that we might become members of your body. So please help us to learn this today and to live in light of this truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I said earlier, we're working at the moment through the various areas of our church life, and we're picturing what they might look like if that area is really going great guns, if it's really thriving. And the one we're looking at the moment, sort of for this month really, is the area of our church community. What would that look like if it's going really, really well? And we've had some really great input on this messenger thread. And so today, and in 2 weeks' time, we're going to spend a bit of time looking at what God's Word says about the Christian community, what it should look like. And there's some great stuff there that we're going to get into. Hopefully you agree after after we've gone through it. Let me start off today by telling you the story of Matthew. Matthew was almost a teenager, and he'd always dreamt of being a soccer player. And so one day he built up the courage to actually make a phone call. He called up the coach of Acme Soccer Club, and he said, "I want to be a soccer player." And the coach was delighted. The coach promised to drop round a soccer uniform that very afternoon on his way home from work, which he did. And so Matthew puts on this new soccer uniform, and he absolutely loved it. He was absolutely delighted. He wore it all night. He wore it to dinner. He wore it in front of the TV. He sat right in front of the TV. You might remember doing this sort of thing when you were a kid, so that your older brothers and sisters kind of had to see you in your uniform. He even wore it to bed, and he slept in it. He played out in the backyard in his soccer uniform by himself, but that next Saturday he didn't turn up to the first game. And then he didn't turn up to the second game or the third game. In fact, he never played a single game of soccer with the rest of the team. The question is Matthew really a soccer player? Is he really a soccer player? It's debatable, isn't it? But what's really clear is that without playing in the team, he's incomplete. He's not fulfilling the purpose of what a true soccer player is supposed to do. The point is that a Christian without a church is like a soccer player without a team. A Christian without a church is like a soccer player without a team. A soccer player kind of has to be part of a team in order to fulfil what it means to be a soccer player. And a Christian ought to be part of a church to fulfil what it means to be a Christian. And we're going to look today at kind of what it means. The big idea of today is that we are members of one body. Members of one body. Now, the Bible uses quite a few different metaphors to describe the Christian community. One is obviously a body, another is a family. The Bible talks about the family of believers, or the household of believers. It talks about the Christians as being a new nation, a holy nation. It talks about the Christians being a city, the new city of Zion. It talks about the community of believers being a gathering. Now, the word that we translate as from gathering is church. Church is just a gathering of Christians. And obviously, the main one we're focusing on today is the analogy or metaphor, I'm not quite sure what the difference is, probably both, of a body. The Christian community is to be like a body. And we see that in verses 4 and 5, which we're going to focus on today. Reason with me, it says, "For just as each one of us has one body with many members," each of us has a body with, and when members, it's talking about arms and hands and feet and legs, different members. So in Christ, and these members don't all have the same function, that's important. So in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So can you see, this is really clear, this verse, isn't it? We, though many, form one body. That's the big idea of today, that the church, the Christian people, are all members of one body. But there's a number of spin-offs from that fact that I want to pick up on today. There's four points I want to make. You can probably think of plenty more, but four I want to focus on. And these are kind of implications of this truth that we're members of one body. The first is that we're actually incomplete without each other. We're incomplete without each other. Like the hand over here, that hand is incomplete without being attached to the rest of the body. The body is incomplete without the hand, do you see? It reminded me of when I was in high school, my science teacher, he always used to love kind of posing, you know, interesting hypothetical questions. And he said, what would happen is, if you were to cut off members of your body, how far would you have to go before you cease to be you? He said, just, you know, start with your fingers. You cut your fingers off, you cut your hand off, cut your arm off, cut both arms off, both legs off. Start getting rid of your organs. So you're just a brain in a jar. Is that you? Or is the rest of the body you? It's a really interesting question, isn't it? But the point is that each of those parts is incomplete until we're all together. Each of those parts is incomplete until we're all together. So, don't disconnect yourself from the body. You need to be connected to a church body if you're a Christian. That's the first point. The second one is that each of the different parts of the body have a different function. Each has a different function. Have a look at the verse again. Verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we. Okay? So each part of the body, each person in the body of Christ has a different function. Each person has a different gift, does different things, and that is good. That's what a body should be like. And so, as a particular member of the body, you're like the hand can't say to the eye, I don't need you. And the ear can't say to the leg, I don't need you. Each part of the body needs all the other parts, do you see? And so we shouldn't criticise or condemn each other or other parts of the body of Christ for being different, for not being just like me. And we need to guard our hearts and our minds against this, don't we? Because we can so easily slip into this, we might not even say it, but we certainly might think it. Oh, that person, far out, they're not very good at welcoming. They're not very friendly or hospitable. That person's not very good up the front. He's scared of being in front of people. That person, man, when they bring morning tea, they buy it. They don't bake it. We can be so judgmental, can't we? And we've got to guard against this because we're all different. We're all different. You know, Jesse this morning, he really wanted to help carry the chairs from out there into here, and he's like, I used to be able to do it. I said, that's right, Jesse, we're all different parts of the body with different functions. That's okay. You've got, Jesse's got his own unique set of gifts, and we value him. But we've got to be really careful that we don't criticise each other. It's just so destructive, isn't it? I'm thinking it's a bit like taking your pocket knife and saying, arm, I don't need you, and just hacking at your other arm. It's self-harm. When we criticise and condemn and judge each other, it's just so destructive. So let's be on our guard as a church not to do this. If we were all hands, we would be like that church that everyone's kind of the same. And someone who's not the same comes into that church and goes, oh, I'm not like them, I'm not welcome. We don't want to be that sort of church. We want to be a diverse church because the body of Christ ought to be very diverse. We want to be a healthy body with a whole bunch of different parts, don't we? Yeah. Alright, so that's the... that's the second thing, but the implication of us all having different functions is that each part, for the body to be working well, each part has to be doing its work, doesn't it? You think about someone even when they're walking. I mean, think about all the different parts of the body that are moving just to walk. My legs, my feet have, my arms are going, my head's looking around, my eyes are judging distance. Each part has to be doing its job. That's why Paul actually goes on. This, by the way, if you're not familiar with this book of Romans, this is a letter that was written by Paul the Apostle to the church at Rome, to a body of Christ in the city of Rome. And he's explained to them, you guys are one, you're all members of the one body, and each of you has a different function, and he goes on to say, in verse 6 to 8, that each part ought to be doing its different job, right? So he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. You see, each part of the body doing its work, everyone contributing. That's what Paul's talking about here. So that's the second thing. The third implication of us all being part of the one body that I want to pick up on is that the church should be a place of belonging. Should be a place of belonging, shouldn't it? Verse 5 actually contains the word belong. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, doesn't every human being want to feel a sense of belonging? Doesn't every human being want a place where they feel they belong? I reckon they do. And so that's why human beings just tend to naturally gather into groups, and they congregate together, they form clubs, social groups, where they have a sense of identity and security and belonging. Well friends, when you become a Christian, you automatically come into a group of believers where you belong. That's what this is saying. Christians belong in the body of Christ. They belong to one another. You have a place where you're valued, where your unique gifts are needed, where you are loved, where you belong. The church family, in fact, if you're a Christian, is the place where you truly belong. You are created to belong here. That's where God wants you to get your ultimate sense of identity and sense of belonging. In Him, as part of His family. Not as part of the mountain bike group, you know, that Paul and I are part of. Yes, that's nice to be part of that, but that's not our true home. Our true home is in God's family, isn't it? Now, the fact is, when you become a Christian and you join, I'm kind of mixing my analogies here, when you join the family, when you join the body of Christ, you actually come to the place where you truly belong, and that sense of belonging can actually be stronger than the sense of belonging and place you have even within your own family. Your own blood and flesh and blood, family. Now some of you guys know this, because you're in that situation where you've become a believer, but most of your extended family, if not all of them, actually aren't. And so the thing that's most precious to you, which is your faith, your relationship with God, that thing you find you can't share with the members of your own family. You try! You know you try, and you try to talk about it, and they either kind of politely just change the subject, or maybe they actually say, oh, for goodness sake, can you stop talking about this? I've just had a gutful and an earful. You're paying the neck. Stop talking about it. And so the thing that you hold most dearly, you can't even share with them. And that means you don't have that connection. And so when you come to your church family, and you can share and relate on this deepest level, the most intimate level of faith, you feel this sense of belonging. That's a good thing. You know the church is where you really belong. Now, for others of you, including myself to some extent, most of my family are actually Christians. There's this overlap, isn't there, between my flesh and blood family and my spiritual family. It's just really nice overlap. And I wouldn't desire it any other way. I want my family to know Jesus. But what we've got to be careful of is that we don't isolate ourselves to this area of overlap. Because the other people, this tells me that other people in the body of Christ, they actually belong to me. And so for me to shut them out because I'm so focused on my family who are also Christians, say, oh, I've got everything I need here, that's wrong. I've got to be really careful of this. There's some of you guys I'm related to here. And so I need to be careful that I don't focus on you and shut everyone else out. We are one body. And everyone has the right to that sense of belonging. And this actually makes sense of verse 10, which I don't think I have. Have a look at verse 10 there. It won't make sense immediately when you read it, because it says, be devoted to one another in love. Here you are, that sounds nice. Be devoted to one another in love. Now who's it talking about? Talk about the body, right? The body, members of the body ought to be devoted to one another in love. But if you read almost any other version, English translation of the Bible, even the older version of the NIV, you will read, be devoted to one another in, anyone got it? Brotherly love. Because this word for love is actually brotherly love. It's defined as the sense of love for blood brothers and sisters. Get that? The sense of love for blood brothers and sisters. So I cannot just love my family with that love. I need to love all of you with that love. Do you see? That's the sort of love we should have. We are a family. It's like the love we have amidst our own family. That's the sort of love we ought to have for one another. That's the sort of sense of belonging. My kids hopefully feel so secure in my family. They should feel so loved. They should have this sense of belonging. We should all have that. That's what Paul's talking about here. So, let's be careful that we don't show favouritism to some people and not others. We all ought to feel a sense of belonging in the body of Christ. The last implication of being members of one body I want to pick up on is that we're not independent of each other. We're not independent of each other. And we see that again in verse 5. So in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs, look at this next bit, to all the others. Now we like this, we like the idea of having a place where we can turn up and everyone loves us and have this sense of belonging, but when we start talking about, hang on, I've got a responsibility to these other people, I belong to them, ooh, we're not so comfortable with that, are we? We like to be independent. We like to do what we want when we want. We want the perks, but not the responsibility. This is saying, actually, you don't just do whatever you want, because you're a member of the family. Do you see? You actually belong to other people. They rely on you. You're not independent, you're interdependent. If we are truly a part of a body, then of course this makes sense. My hand can't act however it wants and expect it doesn't impact the rest of my body. My leg can't, you know what it's like when your leg goes to sleep and you try and stand up and the thing won't move and it's painful. It affects the whole body. If my leg decides just to go off for a walk, it's going to take my body with it to some extent. Right? It's the same with us in the body of Christ. If one person does something, that actually affects the rest of the body. Don't think you can just do whatever you want and it doesn't affect other people. It does. It does. Now there's a few really concrete implications of this that I just want to pick up on too. The first is that, as I said, if you turn up or don't turn up, if you're there or you're not, that affects other people. And so the first thing I just want to say is be there.
Where is it?
Yeah, here it is. Yeah. Be there for each other as much as you possibly can. You know what it's like when you're sitting around the dinner table and maybe one of your kids or your partner isn't there. You know what it's like? It feels quiet. It feels like someone's missing. You know that sense? It doesn't matter who it is. It's just like, gee, it's quiet. They were obviously the noisy one, weren't they? But no. If someone's missing, doesn't matter who it is, you feel that. And it's the same in the body of Christ. It's really nice, isn't it, when everyone shows up. When we talked about this whole idea of, you know, what does a thriving community look like a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, someone said, oh, lots of people together. There's something really nice just about being together. When you turn up, that is a massive encouragement to everyone else. Don't underestimate that. Do you know what it does to the vibe of a place when people just have a real lackadaisical attitude to the rest of the body? It's destructive to the vibe. The vibe of the thing. Isn't it? It breeds this attitude of loosely connected. It breeds an attitude of being loosely connected. And so just be there for one another. Now look, I know life is complicated. I know, you know, people get sick and, you know, kids can be hard, you have, you know, sleepless nights, all that. I know you can't do that all the time, and let's be really gracious to one another, but at the same time, let's do our best to be there for one another and actually act out this connection to the body, act out this brotherly love for one another. Because we're not independent, we're interdependent. Secondly, in the way we think of each other, let's think of each other actually as family. Think of Chris, my brother, my sister, my brother, my sister. Because the way we treat our own flesh and blood family, we actually, we think of them with this sense of responsibility, this sense of they need me and I need them. Let's think of each other that way, and that will actually impact how we treat each other. Contribute. I think of my own family, and look, in our family life, we've all got different responsibilities, and we all need to be fulfilling those responsibilities for our family life to work. So someone feeds the chooks, someone cleans up the dog food, someone puts out the rubbish, someone empties the dishwasher, someone loads the dishwasher. We all contribute. Now, when our kids were young, when our infants or newborns, we didn't expect much of them. Totally. We look after them and sit there. Same in the church. Someone becomes a Christian, we don't say, oh, great, you're preaching next week. We don't expect that. You're welcome to if you want to. We don't expect that. We look after them and we try and grow them and nurture them and feed them to grow up into mature adults. And as they grow up, as they, you know, turn 7 or 13 or 18, we hope that they'll take on more responsibility, because that's what a maturing child does. It's unhealthy not to, isn't it? And so as you grow as a Christian, start contributing more and more. That'll help your growth. Communicate. Now, if my wife is, she usually gets home like 4:35 or something from work, but if she's running late, you know what she does? Gives me a phone call and says, hey, honey, I'm going to be late. I'll probably be an hour late today. She just lets me know. And you know what that does? That tells me more than that she's going to be late. It tells me that she knows that her being late is going to affect the whole rest of the family. It tells her that she cares for me. It tells her that she feels a responsibility to me. It's not this loose connection. It's this sense of this is important and I really care for you. We can do that for each other. Now let's call each other, hey, I can't make it to our small group tonight. That tells me that you value me. You value our small group. It's so easy, but let's act like a family and communicate like a family, showing respect for one another. That's what it means. And lastly, look after one another. Let's look after one another, because that's what a body does. Now, my young son, Ben, he's 10. He went to the fridge earlier on about Tuesday, swung the door open, and pulled it so hard, a bottle fell out, turned upside down, came down vertically, and landed square on the nail bed of his middle toe. The poor young fella. He rolled around the floor in agony. He had Lennox over, standing by going, ooh. So he didn't want to cry, but I could tell, if Lennox wasn't there, he would have been, he would have been pretty upset. But little Ben, he really hurt his toe. He was hobbling around for a few days. What did he do for his toe? Well, he band-aided it up, and he carefully put in shoe, and he didn't go running. He loves to run. He looked after his toe and he nursed it back to health. Isn't that a great analogy for what we should do for one another? Sometimes members of our body are going to be sick or injured, depressed, upset, lonely. What do we do as the rest of the body? We band together and give it aid. Is that what band-aid is? That's a Jesse joke. Band for aid, right? We nurse it back to health. We encourage it, we grow up, we drop around, we give the person a meal, we sit with them, we talk with them, we pray with them, we read a scripture to them, whatever it takes to nurse them back to health, because we want the whole body to be healthy, don't we? We look after one another. That's another thing that the body should do. Friends, too many Christians treat the church like a hotel. You know what, I mean, what a hotel's for. You turn up, everyone serves you, you don't do anything, and you go. That is not the way we should treat the church. You don't turn up at a church, expect everyone to serve you, and you keep kind of doing this until everyone gets sick of you, and then you go to the next church and do it all over again, and go to the next church and do it. That is not what a Christian should do. This is telling us a Christian comes into a gathering, becomes a part of that body, has a unique function, contributes, looks after the other members, uses their gifts, all that sort of stuff. It's not turn up and be served and go again. We need to think more of the family and less of going to a hotel. That's it. In conclusion, when you become a Christian, you become a member of the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, you are a member of the body, and we're all part of the one body. And that has all these implications and more. It doesn't come naturally to us to act as a part of the body. It comes naturally to us to be independent and do our own thing and take for ourselves. That's what naturally comes. So we need God's help to actually live out who we are in Christ as members of the body. So let me pray for God to help us with this, and then I'll open up for any questions or comments before we sing a final song. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank you so much that you have brought us into your family. You've brought us back to the place where we truly belong, under your headship, under the headship of Christ, in community with you and common unity with each other. We thank you so much for doing this and for teaching us this. Please help us to live up to who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.